Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
You're going to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 19. And verse 23, and I did forget my stick, my little pointer tonight, so you'll have to bear with me when I'm using the board up here. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 23, if you have your Bible, shout hallelujah. If you didn't bring your Bible, say, oh me. Verse 23, now I will say you better start bringing your Bibles because this computer is getting old. You just never know when it's going to crash and not work anymore. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, now pay close attention to what he says here. He says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. How many believe that tonight? Truly believe that. We talked about that Sunday morning. If you did not hear Sunday morning's message, it's on YouTube. You need to listen to that message. We're going to be talking about prophetic truths about the Hebrew alphabet, and we are on our third letter. It is the letter Gamel, all right? Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this privilege to be in your house. Let your word go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. Holy Spirit, I felt your presence in this room. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever's been spoken, whatsoever's been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And we will leave this place. We will bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And so we have left off last time we met, and we were talking about the Hebrew alphabet, and we left off with this thought to never criticize what you do not know. And so why is learning the prophetic truths of the Hebrew alphabet important to us? And I want to drive this for at least the first five or six letters. I want to drive this because I think this is important. It holds revelation. It holds eternal value. And I truly believe this with all my heart. It is the language of God. It is the language of God. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." Now, if you remember the Tower of Babel, what happened in the Tower of Babel is extraordinary. And I have taught this already before, but the languages on planet Earth were all in one language. And so they decided that they were going to build a tower up to heaven and just prove to everyone else that they were God. But no one really realizes the reason that Nimrod built this tower, not necessarily just to build it into the heavens to show the whole world at the time that he was the God, the king. The reason they really built that tower is in case there was another flood. That Noah had experienced the flood of the earth, and they thought to themselves, well, I'll show God, I'll build this tower above the waters where the flood. Well, they didn't realize that God already said he wouldn't flood the world again with water. And so God scattered the language. And there is, did you realize that there's another language already? And I talked about this before. There is a language already being developed that everybody can speak, that everybody understands. Anybody want to guess what that language is? It's the language of math. Because of math, because of the binary systems that we have, we're able to easily speak every language in the world. All you have to do is go to Google Translate. All you have to do is type in something on a computer that is ran by mathematics. That is extraordinary to me, but the problem is that the ideology of computers is built in a place called Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley, what is silicon? Silicon is sand. And have you ever thought of Google, of some of these other places that are in Silicon Valley that make all of our computers, especially our microchips, that they are built in a place of sand? When Jesus said, the foolish man builds his life upon the sand. So that's an extraordinary thought, and that was free tonight for you. But the phrase pure language out of the book of Zephaniah in the Hebrew is this phrase, Sephar Beruah, and it refers to the form of religious worship. And man, God was really dealing with me today in my time of devotion about worship, about true worship, and how people are so geared and keyed up on worshiping a song. Are they not? They're so geared up on worshiping the songs that are. And what happens is you worship the song, you worship the instruments, but you fail to worship God. When God tells us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why the devil sometimes has a big heyday in the middle of praise and worship teams, because they're not rooted and grounded truly in the doctrine of God. And so we left off. With the Hebrew letter Bet, which is the second letter. And if you remember, the Hebrew letter is the picture of a house or a dwelling. And we have Aleph, we have Bet, and the house represents the shelter, right? And so we said the prophetic truth of the letter Bet is that Bet is the very first letter of the Hebrew Bible rather than Aleph. And many rabbis, scholars, Jewish sages were perplexed over why Bet is first and not Aleph. And the one reason is because Bet is first because it has to do with God breathing the word of God, breathing. And that's what Bet describes. Bet describes the power of the force of air being spoken forth. My editor, my book publisher, contacted me today and was telling me in the book, Recovery of the Breath, she was saying that I'm in the second phase of this editing, and I'm really excited about that. But that was my whole thought of the recovery of breath, that God breathed. And that's what, how many can say tonight, I want the breath of God to breathe upon my life. I absolutely want God to breathe upon us. It's amazing. We all have different blood types, right? I think there's 8 different types of blood, but blood types, and we have O positive, and then you have AB, and all these different types, but we all breathe the same air. That's incredible to think of. God would create us in such ways. So, since Aleph is a silent letter representing God in His unspeakable glory that precedes all things, Bet reveals the enhanced spoken word of God. And so God instructed the prophet Ezekiel, you've heard me say this many times, to speak and to prophesy to the, what did he say? What did he say speak to? What did God tell Ezekiel to speak to? He told him to speak to the wind. He said, prophesy, son of man, son of God, son. He said, prophesy and speak to the wind. Ezekiel 37, 9 and 10 says, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Brother Dale, you can agree with me tonight that there are a lot of churches who are coming together, and they look strong, the framework looks steady, but there's no life in churches today. It's because the Ruach HaKodesh has not visited them. The breath of the Holy has not visited them. That's what I want. I want the breath of God, the wind of the Holy, to breathe into our services. And so I declare that. I declare the body of Christ that we will prophesy unto the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon our family, breathe upon our friends, breathe upon our finances, breathe upon our health, and breathe upon our future. Amen. In the book of Matthew chapter 19, let's get to this third letter, Gimel. Matthew 19 and verse 26, it says something very fascinating to me. It says, but Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'm going to ask you, pause for a moment in this teaching, and I want to ask you this question. What is impossible in your life? What do you feel like right now in your life is impossible? I have mine. I have a list, absolutely. Even collectively, as a church, as a pastor of this church, there are things that I'm saying, man, this is only God has to be able to do this. So what are some things impossible in life? What are some things that you're facing that seems to be impossible that will never happen? That will never happen. I want you to think about that, because if you remember, I always love to use Corrie Ten Boom, the survivor of the Holocaust, who knows everything about what it means to see people die for Jesus. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, "Jesus, how foolish of me to have called for human help when you are already here." I've seen this many times, and I don't mean to go off on this, but I'm just being led of the Holy Spirit. I've seen so many times people come into church, and they come to church because they're hurting. They come to church because they need help. They come to church because they know whatever they're facing, they can't fix it themselves. They have to come to church, and God is the true answer. I was listening to Tim DeLena today, and he was telling a story. I absolutely love this story. He said a lady, which he did not name the name, a lady came to him one day and said to him, said, "Pastor Tim, I got to share with you a story." And he said, "Okay." And she said, "Well, several months ago, before I attended Times Square Church, I was really struggling. I was going through a hard time, and I needed some answers." So she said, "When, of course, living in New York City, you almost everything's accessible to you. Any no matter what hour of the day, it's accessible to you." And she said, "I went and I found myself a psychic. I went into the psychic and I sat down." And he said he didn't remember exactly how, if she used tarot cards or whatever she used. "But I sat down with the psychic and I said, I need help and I need some answers." And so the psychic did her little voodoo, the little tricks, whatever they do. And the lady said, that's not enough. I need more answers." And so the lady began to do some more stuff, you know, to the point where, I don't know, she was cooking stuff. I don't know. Putting frogs in big cauldrons. Can't tell you what happened. But the lady was like, "This is not helping me. You're not helping me." Finally, this psychic just got so frustrated with this woman and said, "I don't know what else to tell you, but to do this, you need to go to Times Square Church." She said she went to Times Square Church. The only time in the history of the world a psychic was right, huh? She went to Times Square Church and she got saved. She got her life right. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everything moved. She had been attending church for like months now, telling Pastor Tim. And that's the thing. People are going to be hurting in these last days. And I'll tell you what, now's not the time to get out of church. Now's the time to stay in church. It's amazing to me, Brother Vernon, that when people are in trouble, that's when they come to church. But I don't know about you, but I want to stay in church because trouble's always around. But I look to the hills where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Charles Stanley, the late pastor, great, great First Baptist, great Baptist pastor, he wrote, he said, the shortest distance between a problem and a solution is the distance between your knees and the floor, and how important it is to be a place of prayer. In our scriptures, in Matthew 19, verse 23, then said Jesus and his disciples, he said, "Verily I say to you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" I always thought about that, Sister Charlotte. How can that happen? Because my grandmother did a lot of sewing, and so there were plenty of needles around. And she even taught me how to do some particular sewing. Not a lot, but just a little bit. And I always was there because my eyes were so good I could thread that needle for her. It was pretty simple to do for me. Nowadays, it may take a little longer than it did back then. But I always thought about, and I always pictured in my mind when I heard that scripture as a child, a large camel like we see on this picture here going through an eye of a needle. Now, I know there are a lot of people that want to explain that. Preachers do a great job of explaining things that we don't understand. The eye of the needle actually was a fixture, a tunnel, so to speak, that went into the city. the most holy part of Jerusalem. And people in that day actually realized what Jesus was saying. But the thing about that, camels are an unclean animal. And so camels were not allowed to go in anywhere near the holy place, especially in Jerusalem. And so people understood what it meant in that sense. But then when we look at it in our Western mind, our mindset, we think that's impossible. But Jesus was trying to teach us something. Jesus, and this is where we cannot miss what he's trying to tell us. Jesus is simply reassuring us that all things are possible with God. If you don't get anything tonight, please get this. All things are possible with God. So this Hebrew letter, Gimel, is the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And so we're going to look at the prophetic truths. Number one, the first prophetic truth about Gimel is the symbolization of a rich man running after a poor man. Now, we'll be talking about Dalet. And I love this. Dalet is our next letter. And if you remember, when you read Hebrew, you're reading from right to left. So we're reading from right to left. We always read from left to right. But in the Hebrew reading, it's always the opposite. And so I love this because this Talmud, the Talmud, the traditional Jewish commentary, they make this interesting observation that you have the letter Gimel, then you have it's the next letter following Gimel is Dalet. And now, the manual print of Gimel looks like a man running to the left toward the letter Dalet. Now, that's really cool. It looks like a letter, like a man running, okay? That's what they say. What is interesting is what Dalet means. And we're going to learn about it next week, Lord willing. Dalet means impoverished. It means, it symbolizes the rich man running after the poor. Now, we're not talking about the worldly riches, are we? We're talking about godly riches, rich in faith. Jesus enriched in his, adorned with all the glory of God, running toward the poor who are us. Amen? So Gimel means to lift up, to give out, to wean, to benefit, or to requite. So we should all know the nature of giving can lead to either a blessing, right, or judgment to the one who gives. And so in other words, how we choose to run our race will determine our outcome. How we choose to run our race will determine every decision you make is going to have an eternal impact. We don't realize that. And that's something that we perhaps need to study about is if you sow to the flesh, you shall reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap everlasting life, right? And so I think we need to understand these things. And so we got to learn how to choose our race. Number two, the second prophetic truth about Gimel is the picture of Jesus, our Redeemer. I love that song, My Redeemer Lives. How many believe that he still lives, right? So there was a song years ago, Benny Hester. He's a name that you perhaps don't even remember unless you just followed a lot of these Christian artists in the 80s. You probably will not remember the man by the name of Benny Hester. But he wrote a song, and I actually like his version better than the second version. But then a group by the name of Phillips, Craig, and Dean, who remembers Phillips, Craig, and Dean, they also came by and they recorded and did a fabulous job too. But there's a different anointing on Benny Hester's song. So he wrote a song, and it was called When God Ran. Who remembers that? How many are grateful that God ran? Man, I love that. So the woman at the well influences the Samaritans around her that Jesus is Redeemer. That's what she says. Savior of the world. After Jesus had this great conversation with a Samaritan, which Jews do not speak with Samaritans, and then men do not sit at wells with women unless it is a engagement. Okay? And so, already broken some rules Jesus did to reach this woman. And she tells basically her life story. In fact, Jesus already knew about it. He knew about this woman, knew about her situation. But I love what John 4, verse 42 says, "And said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Gamel is the picture of Jesus, our Redeemer. Gamel, meaning to lift up, is a wonderful picture of Jesus being lifted up for all humanity, both on the cross and on his ascension, right? We always think about Jesus being lifted up, you know, coming out of the grave the third day, but he also ascended to heaven. Read Acts chapter 1. It tells you the story. John 12 and 32 says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Amen. Thank God for that. The third prophetic truth about Gamel is the picture of the Holy Spirit. Now, I love these thoughts here, because you have helper, redeemer, you have lifter. And if Moses was around, Moses would have saw this mosaic writing. Looks like a seven, kind of, with a kind of a curved stem there. Then you would see the pictograph of this, and then that is the book writing of Gamel up there at the top. Look, but it all points to a camel. I love this third prophetic truth, because it's something that I see, the picture, Gamel being the picture of the Holy Spirit. Think about this, and I'm going to show you this through, if you remember, gematria. I'm going to show you through this. The numerical value of Aleph is 1. Remember, Aleph. What is the numerical value of Bet? 2. That's right. So what is 1 plus 2? 3. Isn't that amazing? So 3 is the numerical value of Gamel. The number 3 represents the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And it proceeds forth from the Father, which is Aleph, and the Son, which is Bet, right? The role of the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the helper. Thank God for that. Now look at John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now skip down to verse 26. But it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have told you or spoken unto you." So you see this. You see the number 3 is revealed by the threefold role of the Holy Spirit, to 3 things that the Holy Spirit does. Are you ready for this? Sometimes we think, well, the Holy Ghost is there to just give us goosebumps or ghost bumps, run up and down the aisles and speak in other languages, right? Speak in tongues. But do you realize what the role of the Holy Ghost is, the Holy Spirit? Here it is: to convict of sin, to bring righteousness, and judgment. Well, you guys were shouting, except Brother Vernon. He was still with me. Thank you, Brother Vernon. Look at John 16. I'm going to show you in Scripture. A church that is discouraged doesn't need, what do we say? It needs doctrine, right? It needs a truth. That's what a church needs when it's down. John 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The power. This is why I am very cautious when it comes to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to ever grieve him. I want him to have his place, always his place. Amen? All right. So the best way tonight to make true and pure application of this message is to view the Hebrew letter Gamel in its ancient form and proclaim its biblical truth. And so the pictorial graph is simply a symbol or sign, like we've been saying, a letter, a sign for a letter or for a word. And we've been saying that the Hebrew word pictures do not replace, does not define, does not limit Scripture. Don't get caught into that. But what it does, it illustrates Scripture. And so the picture Gemel is the picture of a, or the picture of the letter Gemel is the picture of a camel. I did my best trying to draw a camel there. That way you could see it. But what does a camel represent? A camel represents lifting and carrying. Now, in the Middle East, camels were and still are a very essential part of life, of everyday life. Camels are. Did you know, by the way, it snowed in the Sahara Desert? Don't tell me Jesus is not coming back soon. He is. Some strange things happening. So camels were essential, very essential in the Middle East, especially in the desert. Look at your neighbor and tell him, hey neighbor, the camels are coming. Boy, that is so prophetic. I think some of you missed that. There's a prophecy, a prophetic significance in that. The camels are coming. This Hebrew word for camel is the word gamal, and it means benefit, or like we said, requite, to make repayment. It is, the pictograph literally means to go beyond our destination. Go beyond our destination. That's what camels can do. Go beyond our destination. The way that God created them, where they're not having the need to have food because food is stored. And they're depending upon that energy. It can go a lot further than we could even go. And so we know that the camels have the ability to travel further than most animals, especially in extreme conditions, meaning being very hot, very dry, very, very desert-like places. And so since gamel means to lift up or to reward, it is God who lifts us up in either a reward or a rebuke. You realize that God loves us so much that not only will He bless us and be honored, but He will, the Bible even tells us, He will chastise us. He will correct us. If He did not correct us, He did not love us. Amen. I used to take the board. I think some of you, I think Brother Dale was on the board during that time, and I used to tell the board members, I'd say, yep, I'd get my board out, and I'd tell Levi and Caleb, not so much Macy, but I would tell them, I'd say, are you ready to meet the board? And they did. They met the board, and I didn't hold back. I believed that it was important for them because I loved them. But I never would spank them out of anger. Or while I was angry, but I would explain to them why they were getting a spanking, why they were getting correction. And that's very important because that's what God does for us. He lifts us up in either a reward or rebuke. Now look what it says in Psalms division 119 verse 17. It says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Can you say that to God? Right? Do you have that kind of courage and faith in God to say, deal with me? Now remember, Gemel in Psalms division 119 is the entire Psalms with divisions of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph Bet, if you will. So Psalms 119 for Gemel is 17 through 24. So you want to maybe take a picture of this later after service. You can be more welcome to do that. So the Hebrew word for bountifully is the word gamal, and it refers to the process of weaning a child. The process of weaning a child. Wow. God weaning His children in reward or even in rebuke is found in the book of Matthew. This is what Jesus says about that. In Matthew 18, verse 3, He said, verily I say to you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this, who? Little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Look at verse 6. That's the reward. Look at the rebuke. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Incredible tonight that God lifts us up in reward and in rebuke. The camels are coming. Amen. And they're bringing with them. If you remember the story, even Abraham and Lot, they both had 9 camels. Isn't that crazy? 9 gifts of the Spirit. 9 fruit of the Spirit. I'm getting chills thinking about that. The camels are coming because God has treasure for His people. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Remember, all things are possible to believe who believe that all things are possible. What do you feel tonight, right now, that's impossible in your life? A camel entering through the eye of a needle, how can that happen? But with God, all things are possible. What if we all determine tonight then, you know what, I'm going to stay humble and I'm going to stay teachable because I'm not arrived yet. I wish I had wrote this down. I wrote it down in my office at home. I don't know if I could say this right. It is one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. Someone said, and I'll share it with you later. If I mess it up, I mess it up. But anyway, it's so funny. Basically, this person said, I'm up in my years now. I'm older. The more I've gotten older, the less I care what people think of me. Do you identify with that? And I love the reason. I'm older now. I could care less what people think of me. And this is the reason why they said that. They said, because I have determined I'm going to, they're saying, I care more what God thinks than what other people think. They said, because I'm going to spend a lot more time with God than I will with you. Isn't that something? I mean, if I heard my wife say that, I was like, wait a minute, that don't hurt my feelings. No, that's the truth. Eternity with God. What if we all determined to stay humble and teachable for the Lord? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for this teaching. Thank you for ministering to us and blessing us, showing us your goodness and your favor. Lord, I know tonight there are things that seem impossible in our lives. But God, I know that all things are possible to you. So I believe, as Sister Linda Merrick said, soon, one day I'll just wake up and it's all be gone. I believe in your power. I believe in your presence. Lord, there's many children that need you tonight. Their families need you. We're going to be a part of this great outreach Saturday. Bless us and honor us, would you, tonight? And now all that we're doing for your glory. As a church came together 2 Monday nights ago, hundreds, thousands of churches came together on a Monday night and prayed. And you heard our prayer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We want revival in this nation. We want repentance, true repentance in this nation. We pray for the peace of Israel, peace of Jerusalem, peace within our walls, prosperity within our palaces, that you prosper, that you love, that you prosper those that love Jerusalem, that love Israel. Father, help us, God, tonight. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. And it's great. Let's stand together and let's say our Aaronic Kohanim blessing. We'll do it in English. In Hebrew, then in English. Yea, vare chakad and I, yes, mare call your odd and I, panavala kavia wayna call your sod and I, panavala kavia simla call shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.